Events are developing rapidly in the Ukraine at this hour. In a moment, we'll take a look at the international reaction. Earlier today, Ukraine's election commission declared Russian-backed Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych as the winner of Ukraine's bitter presidential election. Opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko and thousands of his supporters have rejected that claim. Tensions remain high in the capital, Kiev, and there's an eerie sense in the capital. Joining us now by phone from a hotel in Kiev is Peter Finn, foreign correspondent for The Washington Post. Thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to talk to you.
What's the latest there?
Well, after the Elections Commission declared Prime Minister Yanukovych the winner, the opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko spoke to his supporters in Independence Square, and he has called for a national strike in response.
Tens of thousands of those supporters have been there in the cold, staying overnight, demanding that the election be reversed.
Yes, and they say they plan to stay there. The Yushchenko campaign continues to follow a strategy, basically, of civil disobedience. They're calling on their supporters to remain peaceful and not to trigger any confrontations with the authorities. But the daily protests that we have seen in the city continue to expand. There seems to be more people, and they seem to be in different parts of the city now. And we'll see tomorrow what kind of response the call for a national strike gets.
Well, we've also seen some supporters of Viktor Yanukovych arrive in the capital.
Yes, earlier I went to the Central Elections Commission, and there were several hundred Yanukovych supporters who had come up from cities in eastern Ukraine. They had some fires going outside the commission. They were peaceful. They said that they wanted to remain peaceful and that they were there to show their support for their candidate. After it was announced that he won, they were quite happy. A measure of the fact that they were that things were peaceful was that there were Yushchenko supporters, a few, walking among them and debating the election.
So there's been no violence thus far?
No violence thus far, apart from a little scuffling inside the Elections Commission when the chairman announced the verdict. He did that over the din of Yushchenko supporters shouting shame, shame, and Yanukovych supporters applauding the fact that their guy had won.
Now, Kiev, I think the largest city in Ukraine, is one of the opposition strongholds, along with other major cities.
Yes, Yushchenko won handily in the Kiev region, as he won while in western Ukraine. Yanukovych's base is in the east, so there is a quite distinct geographic divide between the levels of support for the two candidates, and that divide also reflects the linguistic divide within the country, with the West being Ukrainian-speaking and the East being Russian-speaking.
At the same time, there has been a lot of observers of the election who agree with the protesters, who say there were very serious flaws in this election, that it in no way represents a democratic election. And we now have a situation where the protesters, at least from what I've read and from Mr. Yushchenko and from what he said, they're not willing to compromise on this.
Yes. I mean, we have two candidates here, each of whom claim they have won, and in different ways, each of whom is acting as president. The Yanukovych campaign is now calling their man the president-elect and say that it's time to move on. Yushchenko yesterday in the parliament swore an oath as the president, and some of his people suggested he might begin issuing some decrees. And there's no apparent easy way out of this. And if there was, it seems to have narrowed with the decision of the Central Elections Commission, which the U.S. and others had asked them not to take, to provide some space for a compromise. What that compromise might be, I don't know. And if it's possible, that seems to have become more difficult.
And one final question. There is a current president, Leonid Kuchma. What has he been doing?
He has said both that the authorities will not use violence, but his language today seemed to get a little stronger when he used words like coup and staging a coup to refer to the actions of the Yushchenko and his supporters.
So at the moment, it's calm but tense?
At the moment, it's calm. People are angry. There are a lot of them on the streets, and the atmosphere is charged. So the possibility of something happening remains there. And if violence is sparked somewhere with this many people, it's always a fear that it could spread. And then you've got a situation that becomes very difficult to control.
Peter Finn of The Washington Post, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Peter Finn joined us by phone from a hotel in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. About an hour ago, Secretary of State Colin Powell announced that the United States cannot accept the election outcome in Ukraine because of what he said were serious and credible allegations of fraud. In a strongly worded statement, he warned of consequences.
Indeed, this is a critical moment. It is time for Ukrainian leaders to decide whether they are on the side of democracy or not, whether they respect the will of the people or not. If the Ukrainian government does not act immediately and responsibly, there will be consequences for our relationship, for Ukraine's hopes for Euro-Atlantic integration, and for individuals responsible for perpetrating fraud.
Joining us now by phone to discuss some of the U.S. and international reaction to the events in Kiev is Michael McFaul. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, where he co-directs the Russian Domestic Politics Project. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
When Secretary of State Powell says the U.S. Regards the election results as unacceptable and there will be consequences, what's he really saying there?
Well, first, I applaud him and the president's statement yesterday. I mean, they are not mincing their words. They're trying to be black and white about this. They're not leaving any ambiguity about our attitude about what happened there. This was a fraudulent election, and they're calling it like they see it.
Mm-hmm.
But having, you know, the eloquent words do not make for good policy necessarily. And the bottom line here is that we do not have a lot of tools, if you will, to try to influence the situation on the ground inside Ukraine.
Meaning we don't have a lot of economic relations, things like that? Or what do you mean tools here?
That's right. I mean, we can't, you know, say some people said, well, we should sanction the Ukrainians. Well, that's exactly what Mr. Yanukovych would want, because most of the economic and political assistance we have in Ukraine today actually helps civil society and those very people who are demonstrating against Yanukovych on the streets right now. Secondly, there's no military option here. Let's be clear about that. And third, you know, this is a country in the heart of Europe next to Russia, where other actors, Russia first and foremost, are playing a very heavy hand, and we don't really have any means to counteract that.
Isn't this also fundamentally much more important to Russia than it is to the United States?
Well, it depends on which Americans and Russians you're talking about. For me, it's vitally important, and that it is, because this is a real test about democracy and liberty and freedom, all the things that our president talks about. For us to stand aside and allow an authoritarian thug to take over, I think really kind of calls our bluff about how committed we are to this. Having said that, yes, the Russians see Ukraine as part of their sphere of influence. You know, Russia, after all, came from Kiev Rus hundreds of years ago. This is, for them, not even for many people, they don't even recognize that Ukraine should be an independent country. It should be part of Russia. And that's why they're playing such a hard game on this particular electoral outcome.
We're speaking with Michael McFaul of the Hoover Institution and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace about the crisis in Ukraine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Michael McFaul, there's another big player in all of this, and that is Europe, which, of course, sits right next to Ukraine as well.
Well, that's right. And So far, it's very interesting to note that no European government has recognized the results of the election either. And I think what you see right now is the Bush administration trying very hard to keep a firm line that we will all remain united in not recognizing the government, Mr. Yanukovych. And that has consequences for Ukraine because there is trade. They want to be eventually a member of the European Union. And for some of the elites that are sitting on the sidelines, right, some of the business types who so far we don't know which way they're leaning, I think we're trying to reach out to them to say, hey, if you play along with this and allow the actual results to hold, then you're going to be part of the West, and you're going to have the benefits of that. And if you don't, then you're going to become a pariah state, much like their neighbor Belarus is today.
Outgoing President Leonid Kuchma said on Wednesday that Ukraine is facing the threat of civil war over this disputed presidential election and urged the world community not to interfere in the row.
Well, he's right that there's a threat to civil war, I would say, and he personally is responsible for it. I mean, he's the one who has allowed this election to be grossly falsified. If he just accepted the will of the people, I'm sure that it would be diffused. The people in the eastern part of Ukraine, unlike some of the things that my Russian colleagues have been saying, they're not going to go to war and fight on behalf of Mr. Yanukovych. I think they would accept the results of a free and fair election.
Do you think the opposition would accept the election of Mr. Yanukovych?
No. They won't, because they are firm in their belief, and they have data, I think, that supports them, that this was a stolen election. And that's a fundamental difference. That's exactly right. If this continues the way it is, I mean, the government, you know, President Kuchma and Yanukovych, they're just hoping to gut it out. They're hoping that there won't be violence and that the cold of the December winter will kick in, and eventually those on the streets of Kyiv today will eventually go home. And that gradually the West and even the United States will come around and recognize Yanukovych. The opposition is hoping to get it out, and that's why it's so tense as it is today.
There is, getting back to U.S. Relations in all of this, Ukraine has troops in Iraq. That government, as well as Russia, has been supportive in some respects. Obviously, there's a friendship with Mr. Putin and Mr. Bush.
Yes.
There's considerable amount at stake here.
Well, it's complicated by those two facts. One, the Ukrainian troops in Iraq, and two, the relationship with Mr. Putin. All along, the troops in Iraq, that was a move by Mr. Kuchma anticipating this very event. And to give them credit, they played it right. They have complicated our situation as a result of that. Yushchenko, by the way, the opposition candidate, has called for the withdrawal of Ukrainian troops in Iraq. And second, and even more importantly, is the relationship with Mr. Putin. I think you're now seeing the limits of this so-called close relationship that we have with the President of Russia. President Bush has staked a lot in this. He's called him his friend and his colleague and his ally in the war on terrorism. But when push comes to shove in a very important issue like, you know, the fate of democracy in Ukraine, it's very clear that Mr. Putin is not our ally. And I would hope that the president, as he gears up for a second term, might rethink just what we have gotten out of that so-called friendship with Mr. Putin.
We just have a little time with you left, but I wanted to ask if you saw any way back from the brink.
Well, I'm very nervous that something will happen, something unexpected, right? And revolutions are always that way. It's not it's always some unanticipated death or accidental killing that then can spark a situation like this. The one small sign of optimism I see is that Kuchma and his administration has begun to reach out to some members of the opposition to begin a process of negotiation that might lead to some kind of compromise, say a new election or even a new, you know, Yushchenko as president, but under a new constitutional arrangement where the president doesn't have as much power. That, I think, is the only kind of silver lining you see, because right now it is very tense in Ukraine.
Michael McFaul, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Michael McFaul, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, where he co-directs the Russian Domestic Politics Project. Stay tuned to NPR News for developments from Ukraine as they happen. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.